Welcome back to the Missouri Chamber Capital Chat. I'm your host, Philip Arnzen, and I'm joined by my two colleagues, Heidi Geisbühler-Sutherland.
Hey, good afternoon.
And Kara Korchus.
Hello, Philip.
Hello. How is everybody doing on this wonderful spring day?
Just counting down the days until the end of session.
Oh, yes. As of today, 2 weeks. So whenever you're hearing this podcast, there will be under 2 weeks left of session. So we are all quite excited for that. The most stressful 2 weeks of the year, but definitely fast-paced. And it's when most of the stuff starts to come together and actually get across the finish line in these final 2 weeks. So there has been quite a bit of movement on some legislation and on the budget, which we'll talk about the budget here in the second half. On the kind of legislative front, child care is still in discussion. There have been some discussions behind the scenes, and we know the last time that child care was brought up on the Senate floor, there was a little bit of questioning and filibustering going on, but we believe that some of those issues may be worked out on the child care front, and we'll have a better path here in the final couple weeks.
And yeah, we keep hearing really good support from the governor's office, from all of the sponsors of those bills. They're still really ginned up about it. So that's really some enthusiasm we like to see going into the final 2 weeks.
I can say, though, I don't think it's going to be without any hurdles, as in any major priority to get done. I mean, there is a lot of bipartisan support that we're hoping is going to carry us until the end of session and cross the finish line. But especially on the child care front, especially this week on the budget discussions, there were some clear opponents to any efforts to improve the availability of child care in our state. But we're going to keep pushing, and this is a top priority that we will keep working on and try to get done. And hopefully this is a piece of good news that we will be coming to you reporting on May 13th.
Yeah, so we'll keep monitoring child care, and we will keep pushing towards a finish line on that, and making sure that that gets sent to the governor's desk. Some other good news we had on the business mandate front: there was supposed to be a vote on the most egregious vaccine mandate bill in the House that was postponed. And that was, due to a lot of discussions with committee members and knowing that the bill may or may not get out of committee. So there was a little bit of hesitation to bring that up for a vote in the executive session.
Well, I think you're being very diplomatic, Philip, and I appreciate that, but I don't think the bill had the votes to get out, and we appreciate that. We appreciate members on both sides of the aisle who are willing and able to stand up for businesses to say, let business decide, that the government should not be interfering with those workplace vaccination decisions. And so we are hoping, and we will be actively monitoring to make sure any of the anti-business mandates related to vaccinations do not get added on to any bills in these last 2 weeks.
Yes. And then in other good news, there was actually a public vote on the House Bill 1169 that was sponsored by Representative Holly Jones. And that bill would, basically the way it was written, was every single food product would have to be labeled that it could possibly alter your DNA. And it would also have a chilling effect on the biotech and agriculture industry in Missouri, because it would basically say anything that has scientific research or any sort of investment in agriculture or, having higher yields for food, it would basically put doubt in people's mind that what they're eating is safe and what these companies are doing is safe. And so why would a biotech company or an ag company want to locate to Missouri if our public policy is sending the message that what they're doing is, bad for your health and is, bad for the food supply? So that bill, thankfully, was voted down in committee with 4 yes votes and 10 no votes. So a very strong opposition. We want to thank those committee members for voting against that bill. Particularly, there were quite a few freshmen that, despite a lot of public pressure, getting a lot of phone calls and emails, some of them not necessarily positive or not necessarily diplomatic, and them still going in and voting no and sticking to their values and convictions. So we do appreciate them and appreciate their no voting committee on that.
This was one of those issues where a lot of the pressure they were receiving came from people who really don't even live in Missouri. They were getting emails and calls from people all over the country because of a very energetic Twitter campaign.
Yep. And also, getting death threats. So not only the legislators, but the lobbyists involved to opposing this legislation have received death threats over that, which is absolutely unacceptable. And so we were glad to see, regardless of the social media campaign that happened on this, on the policy front, this is very bad policy for Missouri. And therefore, we were very pleased to see this bill die in committee.
You know, I received multiple emails from people questioning why I wanted to, you know, quote, poison the food supply, why we want to genetically modify humans, very kind of out there fringe conspiracy type stuff that were sent in emails to my email, and then also other lobbyists and legislators as well. So we're glad that this issue has somewhat toned itself down, and, you know, hopefully we can move past it and don't have to deal with this again.
So something we've been working on, and I know we've been mentioning on our podcast for a few months now, is indexing. It ties the duration of unemployment benefits to the current unemployment rate in the state. And so I think on our last podcast, we felt like we might still have some wiggle room in our negotiations. And those negotiations are still ongoing, but at this point, time is running out. As Philip mentioned, we are only 2 weeks away from the end of session. And this is one of those big ticket issues that takes up a lot of time, and they might not be willing to give the floor time that it really needs to get those negotiations hammered out. So even though we are still optimistic and are still working on it, just want to inject a little bit of realism into our conversations about that issue and say, this might not be the year for that. You know, you never really know. There's always a possibility, but everything has a slot, and we're working on a very short time clock and a very short sort of schedule of events that they have already planned out in the Senate. They still have a few big ticket items, and those tend to take precedence over issues like indexing, which are fairly niche, but we'll see how it goes. Never say never.
Yep, Heidi is right. And the reality is, in these last 2 weeks of session, is that essentially if an issue is going to take longer than 2 hours, it becomes an issue, especially on the Senate floor, because there are so many bills that need to be brought up and so many amendments that get loaded up onto other legislative vehicles, that anything that takes longer than 2 hours means you're killing somebody else's bills. And so we're on a ticking time clock until May 12th at 6 p.m., just trying to get our priorities passed and hoping that, you know, somebody doesn't stand up on a priority, because if it takes longer than 2 hours, it seems to be likely to be dead.
Yeah, that's definitely the reality in the, you know, the closing weeks of session. Is if there's been anything that's controversial that hasn't been worked out, then you really just don't even bring it to the floor unless there is some other deal with, you know, whoever the opposition may be. So it's definitely the challenging time of year. But again, this is also when everything comes together. You know, another issue that we're pretty positive on is the employee stock ownership plan tax deduction reauthorization that has been added to numerous bills that have crossed chambers. So we're really just trying to make sure that whichever retirement or tax bill that it's added onto, make sure that they're on the radar for House and Senate leadership so that they make sure to get those brought up before the end of session. And that issue is thankfully has been non-controversial. There has not been anybody that's publicly had an issue with the legislation, and nobody that I've talked to kind of behind the scenes that's had an issue with it as well. So we're feeling pretty good on that one.
Yep. And that is due to Philip's hard work on this bill, pounding the pavement and making sure that he gets it added to a lot of different vehicles. So I think his work is going to pay off. And hopefully this is one bill that for sure we'll be reporting on May 13th that this got TAFP'd.
I am looking forward to it. Well, looking forward to the end of session and hopefully with ESOP passed as well. So something that we have been working on this session as well, that has run into some roadblocks, is tort reform, specifically the statute of limitations. Senator Bill Eigel from St. Charles, he has stood up on the statute of limitations when it's been brought up, as well as a couple of his colleagues. It is no longer the conservative caucus, but a lot of the previous members are still working together on stuff and are still, you know, standing up on the same issues that they were last year, as well as some of the new freshmen that are in the Senate.
It's been interesting over the past few years to see this sort of conservative coalition come together against tort reform bills, because we're used to seeing Democrats being against tort reform bills. They see it sort of as an access to the court issue. It's definitely thrown a wrench into our plans and into the strategy of the whole thing to have now two different factions coming at it from a fairly different angle. While statute of limitations is facing some challenges, like Philip said, we do have consumer legal funding, some regulations that would help sort of regulate that industry. And that has been added to a couple bills. So not all tort reform is dead, but statute of limitations is facing some trials.
Yep. And we will certainly keep pushing until the end of session to get some piece of tort reform done, especially statute of limitations, because at the end of the day, it's about economic competitiveness. So if it's easier to get sued in Missouri, guess where a business is gonna relocate to? If you're looking at a state that has a lower statute of limitations, like nearly every other state in the nation, versus Missouri, that's a mark against us. So we want to make sure that Missouri is the most business-friendly state in the nation. And I think reforming some of these legal issues is vital in doing that. Some other issues that I think are going to be brought up hopefully this week in the Senate, the first being upskill credential. This is a key workforce priority, like we've mentioned. It's a competitive grant program, not a tax credit, to help employers upskill existing employees. This is in a few different vehicles at this point. And so we're hoping those vehicles, those House vehicles, I should say, have time on the Senate floor, as well as our cybersecurity grant program. That is also a competitive grant to help businesses obtain or bolster cybersecurity protections, as cyber attacks are happening every single day, more so than ever. And especially in our small businesses, we want to make sure that we are protecting them. And so both these grant programs are really big priorities for the business community and are on a few different vehicles. And so we are hoping that we can get them across the finish line this year.
Those will definitely be helpful for Missouri's businesses, you know, in the time of all of these cybersecurity attacks and all of the issues that are going on with phishing and those sorts of things through email.
And cyber attacks, those are crimes. And so as we want to make sure that businesses are protected from these cyber crimes, it also gives way into our broader focus this year from the business community on crime and public safety and making sure that we are combating crime to hopefully get out of those top rankings. We don't want to continue to be a top state for violent and property crime rights. We need to holistically tackle crime and all of the facets of it. And so I hope that this week the Senate likely will take up a House bill, which is the bill that we've talked about a lot, House Bill 301, sponsored by Representative Lane Roberts, that really tackles crime head on, talks about our prosecutor issue, especially when we see the headlines in St. Louis with a lot of those violent crimes that are not being prosecuted and just the complete state of disarray. I mean, it's really kind of scary what we've seen in the news headlines, that there's only just a few prosecutors left at the circuit attorney's office in St. Louis. And so that just means that an individual prosecutor is going to have hundreds of cases, and likely those cases aren't going to end up getting prosecuted. So it's super scary. And we need to make sure that hopefully this bill can get passed that would allow the governor to appoint a special prosecutor to go into regions that have a very high homicide case rate. It's not just targeting St. Louis. It's any jurisdiction that would reach a certain threshold. The special prosecutor would be then authorized to go in and help take over some of those violent crime cases. And then it has a lot of other measures related to crime. And so it's really a kind of crime omnibus package, and we are hoping to see that get done. Crime is an economic issue, and therefore the business community is firmly behind this bill and doing something to tackle crime.
To really illustrate that crime is an economic and business issue, when we did our CEO survey last year, the pollster we worked with, they work in multiple states and they do actually the polling for the National Association of State Chambers. And we're the only one that even had a public safety question. And that was very telling to him, because the fact that we're having to ask this as a big business organization and that our members are coming to us saying this is a problem is telling. And then the poll, obviously, the results where it was 90% of respondents, which are all, you know, CEOs and business owners, they all said, yeah, crime is a growing problem and it's something that needs to be addressed. That's why we're, you know, jumping on this issue. And that's why we're hopeful that we can get some of those needed reforms done in House Bill 301 to deal with the prosecutor and deal with some of the other violent and repeat offenders. Another thing that we will, that we're monitoring closely and that will thankfully actually be done in 1 week is the budget. I guess the due date, as we'll call it, for the budget is Friday, May 5th at 6 p.m. There was some good news in the Senate budget. And then what will happen now is the House and the Senate are going to conference. So there will be 5 senators and 5 House members on the conference committee. And it's a bipartisan committee. And they will go through and kind of hammer out the details and the differences and determine if they want to take kind of a governor's position, the House position, or the Senate position. Or they can even go as far as taking a totally new position, which is what they call exceeding the difference. And so they meet for usually 3 or 4 days to hammer out all those details. And then hopefully for our sake, it's on Thursday and not Friday, but we'll see. Then they take that back to the respective chambers and then have a chamber-wide vote on the budget. So some of the positives that the Senate put back in the budget, a really big one was $2.8 billion for I-70, and $1.4 billion of that is just general revenue to add an additional lane each way in I-70, and then another $1.4 billion will be bonding that they'll take out. And with that combined $2.8 billion, that should be able to get the entire corridor between St. Louis and Kansas City 6-lane all the way, which is very needed. Every projection that's being done shows that, you know, truck traffic and car traffic is going to keep going up between those two metros. And then also, they put in enough money, which I believe was $20 million, to do the environmental impact study for Interstate 44 to eventually add another lane to I-44 between St. Louis and Springfield.
Yeah. And Philip, just to kind of underscore, I mean, what they are doing on I-70, this is transformational for the state. This is a big, big deal and something the business community is strongly behind. I mean, when we talk about I-70, nearly everyone has an anecdotal story of feeling like you're nearly getting killed on I-70 because there are just so many cars and trucks, and it's somewhat dangerous at times, but then also just the huge potential for Missouri to really leverage its position as the center of the country with more, I think, highway miles than most other states in the nation to hopefully have 3 lanes across I-70 and hopefully maximize our potential to be a global logistics hub. This is a big deal and something the Missouri Chamber and our members definitely want to see get out of conference committee and signed into law by Governor Parson.
I don't know about you, but probably my favorite part of I-70 is when 2 trucks get beside each other and one is going 70 miles an hour and one's going 70.1. And you really just have to sit there and watch the miles go by as you sit behind the trucks, and everybody behind you is also just getting more and more thrilled about the situation too. So that's, you know, I'll probably miss that the most if we get an additional lane on 70.
The other great thing, Philip, to see restored in the Senate's budget was the money that the governor recommended for childcare funding. This is specifically on the subsidy payment rates, as well as funding for pre-kindergarten access. I know that I think right now this increase would bump Missouri up to the 58th percentile in terms of childcare subsidy payments, which again, I mean, that's not, I mean, look at the numbers. If we're not even in the 58th percentile now, that's kind of scary. But this is just a needed tool, again, increasing the subsidy payment rates as well as the pre-K access, and then hopefully those tax credit programs to chip away at our childcare shortage. And it will go a long way in increasing both capacity and access to childcare for working parents, which is an economic issue, as you heard time and time again, and a workforce issue. So we're super happy and really applaud the legislature for making this a priority, as well as obviously Governor Parson.
Also, in other positive news too, in the budget, in the Senate appropriations, they took out the awful DEI language that would prohibit the state from contracting with any, you know, private entity that has, you know, DEI statements. The Senate Appropriations Committee took that out. And then on the floor, there were some senators that tried to add some new DEI language there that they claimed was compromise language, which we still had concerns with, because when you're dealing with a $47 billion budget, you really don't want to make changes that impact the entire budget. You don't want to make those on the fly. You don't want to make those without thorough vetting by, you know, all stakeholders, by state departments, by those that are going to be impacted. And that's exactly what they were trying to do. And they did it under the guise of, oh, well, this is compromised language. Well, the thing is, you don't want to put some language there that could potentially cause massive problems for the $47 billion that the state, you know, is going to spend next year.
Yep, okay. You're exactly right.
And thankfully, the vote went down. It was, I believe, 18 no votes and 14 yes votes on the language. And so once that vote happened, then, you know, those that were offering that language realized that they just, you know, they were going to quit trying. And unfortunately, it ended up burning probably 5 or 6 hours of floor time on the budget. So they didn't really get to start the budget until almost midnight after that discussion had occurred.
Yep, made for a long night. And that's why you hear some drowsiness in our voices. That's why when we didn't get out of the Capitol to close to 4 a.m. And we are just, you know, very pleased to see this language get removed. Like Philip said, the original language that was added in the House would have just shut down government completely and impacted private businesses across the state. A terrible precedent. And so they amended some other language as a little bit more nuanced, but regardless, we're glad to see that this is not in the budget. This does not belong in all of our budget bills. And if you want to have the policy debate, that's another conversation. But we're just glad to see this removed from the budget. And hopefully that stays out in conference committee this week.
And it was really encouraging to see, after all this work that they have to put into the budget and all of these very specific changes and very, very nuanced choices that they have to make, that everyone is just a little bit fed up with the shenanigans. So it was actually really encouraging to see that go down pretty handily whenever that vote came up and see that the senators are really tired of dealing with this sort of stuff. They just want to get down to what they're actually there to do, which is making sure that we have a solvent budget for our state. And they got down to business and they were able to get it done.
Yeah, it really is. You know, a lot of the times we see the headlines of this crazy thing that happened in the legislature and, you know, seeing this awful language that got added on. But most of, especially in the Senate behind the scenes, most of them are just kind of shaking their heads that they just want to get down to business, get things done, do things to help their constituents, do things to help Missouri business. But there's just a few people that really, for I guess political points or some other reason, have decided that it's better to just put everybody in a tough position and is, you know, and burn a bunch of time on the floor as opposed to actually passing a budget or actually passing bills that have positive impacts on Missouri businesses and all other Missourians as well.
There's a lot of great things in the budget, a lot of pro-business, pro-job creation items, whether, like we said, that's childcare or workforce funding or various economic development programs that are funded in the budget. One item that we should highlight is the both the House and the Senate allocated $15 million again to help onshore active pharmaceutical ingredient as well as semiconductor manufacturing. And this is a very big deal. If people kind of don't realize the impact these industries would have, these are both national security concerns when our pharmaceutical ingredients and semiconductors are being manufactured overseas. We look at supply chain, we look at geopolitical tensions. It's incredibly risky. And so we need to be doing everything we can to make those in the U.S. and even better in Missouri. And so I think this is really going to have a profound impact. The growth of these industries in Missouri, and from what we've seen, like the nation is watching. Groups even outside of the state have taken notice of what Missouri is doing for both of these industries and have said this is a big deal. And I think it makes Missouri more attractive to hopefully secure some of those economic projects right here in Missouri in those industries and hopefully attract more businesses in those industries as well. So this is a very big deal and something that we applaud both Representative Cody Smith and Senator Huff for prioritizing in their respective budgets this year.
Yeah. And also, if you're a chamber member, make sure to keep an eye on your email. There are dozens of other things in the budget that we just don't have time to mention here that will be included in that email. Some of them are smaller amounts, at least for the state budget, smaller amounts, you know, in the hundreds of thousands. And then there's others, you know, like I-70 that's in the billions. But we'll send out an email from the chamber that goes into more detail. And if there's anything specific you're looking for, you should be able to find that in there. Looking forward to post-session, we are already looking ahead to our PAC golf tournament.
June 15th, and it is at the Branson Hills Golf Course. You can find more information about that under our events tab on the Missouri Chamber site. And that event's a great way to support our PAC and in turn support pro-business legislators that we try to send to the state capitol.
Absolutely. And it also leads in to our Missouri Chamber Days at Silver Dollar City in Branson. Because it's our 100th anniversary, as we've mentioned before, chamber members get a discount for visiting Silver Dollar City. And so those discounted days actually start right after our PAC golf tournament. So I think it'd be a great way to hopefully play golf and support our PAC and those pro-business elected officials and candidates who we support, and then hopefully transition into bringing your family to the amazing Silver Dollar City in Branson for Father's Day weekend. I know that's what I'm planning to do that weekend and hope others will join me.
It'd be a great time, the PAC Golf Tournament and also at Silver Dollar City. Appreciate everybody joining us for this edition of the Missouri Chamber Capital Chat. And the next time we have a podcast, most likely session will be over. And so we will have positive updates for you. And we'll be kind of paying attention to what bills and budget items the governor signs into law.
Please send us your positive thoughts and prayers for the next 2 weeks. We will need them. And hopefully then we will have great news to report. We may be a little haggard and a little bit tired after probably getting no sleep these last 2 weeks, but just know that we are your team as a Missouri Chamber member fighting for you day in and day out in the trenches of the Capitol.